God.
Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. I trust you come with a hungry heart. I know I have. I want to see God do great things. I believe in God for great things. Why? Because we're praying. That's why. I said because we're praying and believing God. If you're not praying and believing God for great things, you're getting left behind. Come on. I said if you're not praying and believing God for great things, big things in your life that He wants to do. My good wife made the comment a few minutes ago when she and I had all these different conversations that we have. And I said to her, and she's kind of reflecting into something that I said, is one of the concerns that I have for our day and our hours, the Bible said we must work while it is day, for the night cometh where no man can work. We don't know how long a time that we have to do something for God. But if there ever was a time to set your hat, so to speak, to say, God, I want to do something for the kingdom's sake. I want to be found worthy. I want to be found busy. I want to be found doing the will of God. Not merely coming to church and just being a bystander. I want to be a participant in the work of God.
Amen.
If we don't have that attitude, we're missing out on what God wants to do. I'm convinced of that. So I want that kind of an attitude that says, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing. Because I know you're doing something in the end time. But the hour is still, we can work. Come on. The hour is still, we can work. We have to understand that the night cometh, but the night is not quite yet here. We have a little time to do something for God. Praise God. I want to turn your attention to the book of Job. Job, the first chapter. Very familiar story to us. You'll stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Be short, you'll be seated in just a moment. Job chapter 1, verse 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young men, and they are dead. And I am only, am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked I came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And on all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you, O God, desperate, O Lord, for the move of your Spirit. Lord, if you don't speak to us, all of this is folly. All of this doesn't matter, O God, unless we come, Lord, with a desire to see you, O God, to understand and perceive, O God, where you are today, that you would understand, because we know you know where we are. You know where we are in our spiritual state. You know where we are on the stage of life and the coming, Lord, of your soon return. You know where we are. Lord, I pray, O God, that you would help us to have an understanding today of where we are, to do what we can, to be spoken to by the word of the Lord, that it may prosper in our life. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Lord bless you as you are seated. I want your participation today. Let me say this before I ask for your participation. There's a saying that I guess it's so common now that it's just about a certainty that you have not used this little saying in your life. And that saying is, it is what it is. That's what I'm preaching to you today. It is what it is. So when I point to you, that's what I want you to get back to me. Can you do that? Let's practice one time.
It is.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. So here in the story, that what we see in the Bible is this situation where Job has just been brought all this terrible information. But Job had an interesting response. He didn't have what in the day that we would say, but simply when he was faced when all of this, there was a simple reality that came to him, and the reality was, I didn't bring anything into this world, and I'm not going to take anything with me when I go. It is what it is, and that's just the reality of it. I can't change it. It's just what it is, and the reality of what's going on in my life, I may not like it. I might want to change it, but it is what it is. Oh, thank God I'm here to tell you so. I'm here to tell you that sometimes things can be looked at a certain way, and then we begin to realize, well, it didn't turn out to be exactly like I thought it was going to be. I'm trying to preach to us today that we need to understand what is reality and separate it from things that are not reality. Now, I've got a lot of scripture. I may be a short time, and then I may not, because I've got some scripture to cover. I've got some powerful scriptures to cover. Let's start it off in St. Mark chapter 8. St. Mark chapter 8. Somebody get me 1 Kings 18. I'm going to tie two scriptures together for you in an interesting way, I believe. St. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Somebody get 1 Kings 18 and verse 44. St. Mark chapter 8 says this. Lord, help me today to bring forth your word and power, I pray. Thank God. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up, and he said, I see men as trees walking. And he put his hand upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. I'm here to tell you that I don't care what the man saw in his perception. I don't care what he thought was going on. The reality was completely different from what really was going on. But he saw men as tall as trees that were walking around, but that was not the reality. The reality is, it is what it is. It is that men are this size, and they are not as tall as trees.
All right.
That's not the reality, but yet that was his perception. Come on, I'm talking about perception today. Understanding what is real, what is not real, what is false, what is real, what is reality. Praise God. Now, and we're going to tie this together with 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44. You got it for me, somebody?
And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.
All right. Now here's the thing you got to get. Elijah's looking for a rain.
Yes, and he's
getting his servant to go out and look for any little evidence that the rain's coming. And he went out seven times. He come back, and I'm sure he looks at it. I didn't see nothing this time. I didn't see anything that time. And finally the Bible said that he told him, hey, I was out there. And I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, well, I don't know what to make of this, but it's my job to report to the boss. Hey, boss, I tell you what I saw. I saw a little cloud, and it was the size of a man's hand. I'm here to tell you that was his perception, that it was only the size of a man's hand. But I'm here to tell you that it's everything that we see is always reflective of the distance upon which we look at it. And had he been able to take an airplane up it, if Elijah would have said, hey, I want you to hop in my plane, I want us to go take a look at that cloud that you said is a man's hand. I want you to go up with me
because of why is his reality changed? It's because of his perception when he got closer to it. I'm here to tell you that the closer that you get to God, the bigger that he gets, the smaller your problem is. It is what it is. Hallelujah. This life has problems. This life has difficulties. It is what it is. But the closer I get to Jesus, the problem becomes smaller and smaller. More than I can perceive. Hallelujah. You see, it didn't take much. I like the attitude of Elijah, because he's looking for something. It did not take much.
Yes.
He wasn't waiting to hear necessarily. He didn't tell his servant, well, if you see a couple more clouds,
right?
If you see maybe one a little bit bigger, come on, that's the way people are sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they're looking for something else.
Yeah. Right?
They're not even looking for the right thing.
True.
But if you're looking for something, come on, if you got some faith, we can just see even a little bit around here. We can see something that don't even look all that big. But it's bigger than what we realize. And that's the way it is in prayer. Sometimes you feel your best in prayer. You don't necessarily see that much results out of it. But oh, it's so much bigger than what you realize. Come on, it is what it is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
So in both cases, we got two men here with a perception problem. Both of them have a perception by sight. And the reality was, it was nowhere near what they thought in their mind. Now Elijah found it right. But this man that was the servant, he didn't even... I'm sure he had no idea. Let me tell you something. When God gives, that's the thing about God. God gets it ready to do something and men don't even see it coming. But it is what it is, praise God. Hallelujah. No matter how you see things, it is what it is. I don't care how bleak the hour gets. It is what it is. He's still on the throne. He has power, is not diminished. He has not changed. He said, "Behold, I change not." He's still the same God that gave you the Holy Ghost when you spoke in tongues for the first time and the miracle of salvation come to you. He's still the same God. But we've got to understand that in the similar way,
here's a problem.
Here's a problem.
Yes.
In the same way that this man was touched miraculously when Jesus touched him,
that's right.
He began to see.
Yes, clearly.
And when the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost, you began to see for the first time.
Right.
But life has a way of obscuring your vision. Come on now. So what does God do? God says, I need to touch you a second time. Well, the reason why that we're preaching and teaching and talking about prayer is because in your prayer life, that's where you're going to get the second touch. He's going to touch you a second time in your prayer life, and you're going to be able to see clearly. It is what it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. We're going to have to pray like we've never prayed if we're going to see things clearly in 2023 and 2024. Lead not to thine own understanding. Come on, you got to seek His face. You got to pray and call on His name. Praise God. We live in an hour of people of all kinds of false doctrine. I'm here to tell them you can try to change the gospel what you want to, but it is what it is. You can say you don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name if you want to, but it stands in contrast to the Word of God, and it is what it is. You can say you can live without prayer. You can say, I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need to pray. I can just kind of go on my own salvation of what I experienced a long time ago. But you're in contrast to the Word of God. It is what it is.
Yeah.
prayer and fasting. They took the fasting out of the NIV. Don't even say it. The supposed Word of God took taken out the part about fasting. Well, you can say, I don't want to fast, or whatever the case may be. You can choose to take it out if you want to come up with your own version of the Bible. But it is what it is. It's not going to change, Brother Watson. His Word is forever settled. And I don't care what situations that we go through, He is going to see us through.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I've got something for you to add to your repertoire. When you say, it is
what it is.
What it is. Oh, it just is what it is.
Amen.
Let's go back to Job. Let's go back to chapter 2.
Yes.
Let's go to chapter 2 of Job. If you get there fast enough before I do, holler at me. Read it. Chapter 2. Let's get back there quickly. Chapter 2, verse 6. We'll start right there. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now I got a new thing for you to add to what you say. So when you say it is what it is, it's time to turn it around and say, and it's not what it's not.
Yeah.
Or if you want to use good old Southern vernacular, it ain't what it ain't.
Amen.
It is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't.
Amen.
So here he is, he's got all this mess going on, and what does she say to him? Then said his wife unto him, thus thou maintain thy integrity, curse God and die.
Yes.
But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil? In this day did Job sin. Did not Job sin with his lips? So what he said was, in the first time, it is what it is. But the second time, he said it our vernacular, but it ain't what it ain't. You're trying to make it something that it's not. I'm here to tell you that the devil will always try to make it something that it's not. I said he will always try to make it something that it's not. Here's the scripture you should know. Here's the contrast. Here's what it is, okay? It is what it is. The Bible said we are cast down. It is what it is. But we are not forsaken. It's not what it's not. It is what it is. But it's not what it's not. We are cast down, but we are not forsaken. It is what it is, but it's not what it's not. So when the enemy comes in on you and says, hey, you were forsaken. God has left you. God has taken you a sexual side. You can stay in that trial and that test. Hey, it may be what it is, but it's not what it's not. And it's not what you're telling me, devil. It's not what your friends tell you. Hey.
Amen.
It ain't going to get no better. It ain't going to get no better. I don't even know why you're praying about it, brother. I don't even know what you're praying about. It ain't going to get no better. And you just look at them. Hey, it is what it is, but it's not what it's not.
Right.
And what you're telling me is not true.
Amen. Amen.
But the devil has come along in some of our lives and lied to us for so long. And we've said, okay, it is what it is. I just got to deal with it. But along with the reality, he sold us the lie that of something that's not true. And it contrasts faith. Come on. It's coming against your faith. It's opposing your faith. You need to tell the devil, I might be cast down, but I'm not forgotten.
Amen.
down, but I am not forsaken. Hallelujah. Lord, we need a bigger prayer life. I need a bigger prayer life. Because in my prayer life, I can see things clearly.
Yes, sir.
Between what is what it is, ain't what it ain't.
Right.
But Brother Brand, if I'm carnal, if I'm not praying, I am not going to be able to clearly distinguish between cast down and forsaken. They become blurred together. You hearing me? They become one in the same. They're not one in the same.
Right.
Brother Watson, they are not one in the same. Cast down and forsaken are two different things. But if you don't have a prayer life, you're going to see men as trees walking. In other words, you're going to see your problems bigger than what they really are.
Right.
You're not going to have a sense of reality. Come on. We're living in a world today that has no sense of reality whatsoever. We're supposed that men can become women and women can become men and you can become neither one or become non-binary and all kinds of nonsense that's in this world. We have lost our perception in society. But in the church, we need to know what's up, my friend. Hallelujah. We need to know and understand the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is what it is. But it's not what it's not. Watch this. This is exciting. Watch, turn with me to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now, I'm going to say something that may seem controversial. But I'm going to give you strong reasons to why I take this position. And if you want to have a different position, I don't fault you. It's not something for us to fight or argue over. Right? But it's just, here's something I believe by what we read in the Word of God.
Amen.
So let's begin reading chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship.
Yeah.
And go before him into the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, he said, I got a job, but I'm sending you away, the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Oh Lord's really trying to hone in on this prayer thing.
Yeah.
And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear.
Right?
Yeah.
So the reality was, they saw what they saw was not the reality of what was happening. They saw what was to them an appearance of a spirit. Now, I do not know, Brother Crabtree, what spirits that they were necessarily talking about. It could have been the spirits of the departed ones. They thought demonic spirit of some sort. Or they might have said, no telling what this spirit is. They were walking on the water, but we know one thing. We're in the midst of trial. We're in the midst of severe trial and test. We're in the midst of a mess. And the last thing we need to see is some spirit maybe going to come put us all under. They didn't understand what they were looking at. They had a false sense of what was going on.
Amen.
Watch this. Here's why. Now, let me just say this. I said, look, getting to maybe a little controversy. Might see it different. But I do not believe
that when Jesus came walking to them on the water, I think probably like me, it's easy for you to see it in your mind's eyes. Jesus was, as we know, supernaturally seen in different divine ways. For instance, in the Mount of Transfiguration. And then when he was resurrected, he was in a visual form that they could recognize and see. But he said, handle me. There was no blood there, but there was flesh and bone.
Right.
But I think sometimes we think of Jesus in that supernatural form as he walked on the water to them. And I have reason to believe that that's not how it happened. You know why? Because Peter walked on the water with two. Peter was not supernatural in any way. He was just like you, and he was just like me. And I don't no more believe that when Jesus got his hand down to him and he reached up his hand, that Jesus dragged him through H2O water all the way till he got up and put him up on the boat. I don't believe that. So what are you telling me, Brother Mark? What do you believe? I believe that the Lord took their greatest problem and he walked upon H2O. What am I saying? He changed the property of H2O. He changed the molecular structure of H2O so that it no longer is sinking. You can stand firm upon it. And I'm here to tell you that the reason I believe he did it is because he wanted to show you that he can turn your problem and your greatest threat into the greatest victory. And that you can walk upon all your problems and upon all the things that come against you. You can walk upon that which is your greatest problem. He could change H2O. It's not that he couldn't come to him on a supernatural form. I just believe that he changed the water.
Yes.
And the reason I believe he changed the water is because Peter duplicated exactly what he did. He walked on his problem. He walked on the things that was a problem to him. You see, God has a reason and a purpose for what he does. But their problem was, is that they didn't see things clearly and they were full of fear. I wonder how many of us today, we look at what's going on in the world, and instead of saying, hey, my Redeemer is coming after me. Hallelujah. My redemption draweth nigh. I see people who I believe are full of fear and full of fret and full of worry. And I'm trying to help us today to get to a place of more prayer and dedication to God. Because the closer you get to the source of God, the bigger he becomes. The closer you get to God. Their problem was that they were looking him at a distance. What looked to me a spirit. What was their refuge? And I believe there was two things that the Lord was doing. I believe number one, he was teaching them. And I believe the second part, he wanted them to know that troubles you is nothing in my realm. It's nothing in my realm to change any circumstance in any situation. It is what it is, but it's not what it's not. Hallelujah. My Bible tells me that Peter followed Jesus from afar. And the problem with that is, if he would have, the problem with following Jesus from afar is that all he could see in following Jesus from afar was the negativity of Jesus' circumstance and their own personal circumstance. Because even despite all the things that the Lord had told them, you know how it is, it flees your mind. The Lord, we know many scriptures, but sometimes those scriptures flee our mind. And Peter's looking at all this. And the Bible said that Peter denied the Lord. But the very first thing that he did, he began to follow the Lord from afar. And he had a perception problem of what was reality. Because if he had got close, if he had found a way to get close enough, Jesus could have probably looked at him with one look that would have been ever been as meaningful and important as when the crow began of that rooster. Ever been as meaningful. Only one look, if he had just been close enough. But the Lord knew him. The reason he said you're going to deny me, because he knew what Peter would do.
Right.
He knew what he would do ahead of time. It is what it is.
Amen.
When you're going through that trial and that test, Job said, naked I came into this world. It just is what it is. Praise God. Would you stand? Praise God. Hallelujah. Wish I could have preached better. So many things in this Bible about what I'm preaching about right now that if you would grasp a hold of it today, it'll lift you up. You'll say to yourself, I don't care. And here's the thing. We look upon the horizon and we see the things that are happening and shaping up in this world. And you got to be honest. You have to have a little bit of a quake in you. That's only natural to realize how out of control things are.
Amen.
But that's the awesome need and the concern for us to pray, Brother Watson.
Yes.
Because while we have a natural instinct in us to be concerned and have fear for the future, prayer life changes all that. It really does.
Amen.
When you start looking at the Lord in prayer,
Lord.
When you start looking at Jesus in your prayer life,
yes.
Oh God, hallelujah.
The Bible says we become what we're looking at. And there's no fear in God.
No.
God's not concerned about all this. God sees all this going on. He's got a purpose and a plan in your life. Come on now. He's got a purpose and a plan in the midst of everything that has gone on and may go on.
Amen.
Amen.
And bad things are coming, folks. It just is what it is. Hard times are going to come, folks. It is what it is. But don't ever get it confused. It's not what it's like.
Amen.
For the writer said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I don't know how it's going to work out. What you going to say? They're going to bring you to the magistrates. They're going to do a lot of things. Don't worry. Be a good cheer. Jesus just kept saying, be a good cheer.
Hallelujah.
He said, I have overcome the world. It's a perception issue, isn't it? That's what Jesus kept drilling into them over and over. Don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. As the song says, have overcome the world. Brother Watson, would you come and close?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This world.
Hallelujah, your name.
Just to pass under.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
message one time, it's not what it looks like. And I was down at Horseshoe Beach preaching for Brother Butler, and I didn't know what they were going through, but they were going through some heavy stuff. You know, some of them were, one of their daughters. And I preached, it's not what it looks like. But you'd have thought, Brother Mark, you'd have thought that I preached the best message ever preached in the world. But it was exactly what they needed for the hour. Amen. This message is what you needed for this hour. Amen. Amen. We have just made that statement. Hallelujah. It's not what it looks like. Amen. How many of you? What was it again? It is what it is. I told Sister Walker before. Well, it is what it is. And I found out it wasn't what it was. Thank all of you for being here today. Hey, I said, who? All right, so how's it got a birthday? All right, we got a car.
Come get your car.
No, we got one.
You got one?
No.
Yes.
Got one for Brother McNeil. So, Sister Taylor, she's the one going to get some cars and get some here. But let's say happy birthday, Sister. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Thanksgiving. Amen. And I know Brother Marston is going out of town. Brother Sister Crabtree is going out of town. Who's going to be here Wednesday night?
I am.
All right. All right. There's three and four. I know Sister Taylor didn't be here. But unless, all right. Bible said, I said we're going to show up if only two or three, so there's two or three.
Amen.
Miles is going to be bringing the word Wednesday night. Amen. So let's look forward to that. Amen. The rest of you, if I don't see you until next Sunday, have a happy Thanksgiving. It is the only one that I celebrate. Amen. Is Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And I think it's a beautiful thing that that time of the year we thank Him.
Yes.
We thank Him that He brought us through another year.
Yes.
Amen. And be thankful.
Yes.
And all things be thankful.
Yes.
Amen. So let's have a good week. You that are going to be on the roads, please be careful. Because a lot of people are on the highways during this time. Amen. Sister Watson went to Kissimmee yesterday. I thought I was in Atlanta, Georgia.
Amen.
I mean, it's hard. But guess what? It went back to Haines City, and Haines City was just as bad. I love this little town. Praise God. So God bless you. Sister Donna.
We have a prayer
meeting
Tuesday night.
Yes, ma'am. Prayer meeting Tuesday night. And Sister Taylor, you know, she's going to have a prayer meeting Tuesday night.
Most likely she has to go back home because her son was coming up.
And
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes,
I'll let you know, Sister Donna. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.